Hey, welcome back to the Aspire Podcast. On today's episode, Paddy and Silv interviewed Josh and Hannah Toole. They had a great conversation talking about navigating dating and marriage whilst pursuing ministry. Sounds spicy. Serving the less reached and their journey in considering overseas mission. The experience they had doing uni apprenticeships and how that helped them think about vocational or paid gospel ministry. And also the importance of learning in community and how they've really valued that at Moore College. And so I hope that you enjoy this conversation with Josh and Hannah Toole.
Welcome to another episode of the Aspire Podcast. We're really glad that you continue to tune in and listen to the episodes that we're producing. And we are really hopeful and prayerful that under God, the guests that we have on our shows and the stories that they tell and the way in which God's been working in and through them in their aspirations towards ministry might be of a really significant benefit to you, our listeners. So we're really thankful, particularly to those of you who have been listening right from the very beginning. Tonight, we're joined by Josh and Anna Hall. Josh and Anna are both students at Moore Theological College. And tonight, we're really pleased to be able to, Silv and I are really pleased to be able to have them on this episode, so that we'd be able to talk to them about some of the decisions that they made in the lead up to heading into Bible college and some of the challenges and opportunities that were before them. And we might also hear about maybe what they're aspiring towards after Moore Theological College. So I'll give Josh and Anna just a couple of minutes to introduce themselves. Guys, you just want to introduce yourselves. Welcome to the podcast. We're really glad you can join us. Tell us a little bit about sort of what stage of study you're up to, where do you live, local church, all that sort of stuff.
Thanks, great. Paddy.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're really glad to be here. All very good questions. I'm Anna and this is Josh. We are studying at Moore College. We're in third year. Mm-hmm. We're both in third year, which is a real delight to both be able to study together. It doesn't always happen, but it's a real joy. And so we go to St. Paul's Canterbury, an Anglican church in Sydney. We've been there for about 4 months.
4 months, yeah, that's right. Just started in our third year, just at the beginning of third year, which has been a great transition as we moved on to a new church to get new experience, learn in a different ministry context in terms of the people and the geography in a different part of Sydney, which has been great. And yeah, well, we're living in Newtown, Little Queen Street. It is a classic for Moore College students. So we live about a minute walk to class, which is a real joy in a very old two-story terrace. Where walls and things fall apart a bit, but it's always, it's a vibe, that's for sure.
It's a great place to be.
So good. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. I'm really keen to hear a little bit about how you both ended up wanting to be at Bible college. So maybe we'll start with Anna. Do you want to share with us a little bit about your story? Maybe what really convicted you about wanting to go into ministry? And maybe stop right before.
Yeah, I'd love to share a little bit of my story. Let me just think about how to share this. Sorry, maybe tag that and not have that intro.
That's fine.
Yeah, I'm someone who's had the privilege of being able to have grown up in a Christian church and in Christian circles all my life. But ministry was never really on the radar for me. I initially wanted to be a journalist and really wanted to go to Sydney Uni. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll go and be a journalist and study there and that would be a real joy. But at some point in my HSC, didn't work as hard as I probably should have and didn't quite get in to Sydney Uni. But I was so desperate to go that I decided that I would study arts instead rather than going to a different uni. And so I found myself at Sydney Uni and fell in love with studying arts. I love English literature and I love studying world religions. But I also ended up getting really involved in the Christian group, the Evangelical Union, which I'm sure many of you will have heard of. And it was really at the EU that I grew my heart for serving God. Every year we would have an annual conference, and I would say that every annual conference was another year and another time for me to think a little bit more deeply about how God would have me serve in his kingdom. In my first year, I was particularly challenged by the idea that we have a lot of resources in Sydney and we're very well reached with the gospel and we have so many Bible colleges here, but not everywhere has the same thing. And so I thought, well, maybe I could go to rural Australia. Maybe I could go be a primary school teacher. I can change up what I want to do, and I can serve a local church and be a blessing to that church with the training that I have. And then as time went on, another year of annual conference came, and I thought, actually, I'm really loving this Christian ministry thing. I'm really loving my small group that I get to lead, and I'm enjoying opportunities to serve at church as well. Well, maybe actually God's gifted me for a lifetime of vocational ministry and serving God in that way. And so I was thinking about that for a while and continuing to enjoy church and uni. And then the next year, in my third year of uni, I went to another annual conference and was really convicted by the need to maybe not stay here with my ministry skills and gifting that maybe I had. Actually, maybe I could do that overseas. And so mission kind of became on the agenda for me in a way that it never had before. I remember as a kid feeling worried that God might want me to become a missionary and thinking that would be the worst thing in the world. But then I realized God is delighted to use us in that way. And it's a joy for him to send me and a joy to actually take on that opportunity. So yeah, changed my heart. So after uni, I was thinking about how to serve, and I took up opportunities to chat to my senior minister at the time. I was really excited about the idea of serving in my church, and I was starting to take up opportunities to preach there for the first time and really enjoying that, really wanting to be trained in that in particular. And so in the middle of 2018, I decided that I would start training. And it was a part-time traineeship, and so I was looking for work for the rest of the time, which eventually led me to start working for CMS, the Church Missionary Society, and then I was their writer-editor. A lot of people say you can't use your arts degree and you'll never get a job with an arts degree, but I did get to use it. I was able to write, yes, very happy about that, but I really thoroughly enjoyed it, and I think it particularly grew my heart for mission even more. It was a real joy to work there. And at some point there I met Josh, so maybe we should
Josh, share a bit about your story.
Thank you. I did not grow up in a Christian family or a church family, so I didn't go to church growing up. I'd say I became a Christian through faithful scripture teaching throughout primary school particularly. When I was at uni, I was convicted to go to church, checked it out, and joined the Evangelical Union, again, the EU at Sydney Uni, and joined like a Bible study or a small group. I was doing things at church as well. And I think early on when I started to really grow and mature as a Christian, I never really had any concept or thought of actually doing ministry myself in a vocational sense. I was actually very heavily involved in politics. Mm-hmm. So I was working for members of parliament. I wanted to be a politician since I was about 10 years old, actually. Mm. Yeah, it's a bit random, isn't it? It's very weird.
Wow.
Yeah, I was an odd child, I guess.
I didn't know that. But, cool.
My parents had nothing to do with politics. They weren't really interested in politics. That's right. Well,
I was
going
to say, someone needs to be our politician.
And I think, when I was 14, I was, going with a local candidate to hand out flyers at like the train station before going to school when I was in year 9 or whatever.
Other 14-year-olds would be playing video games, but not
sleeping in, perhaps. Yeah. So I did a lot of politics stuff in latter parts of high school and throughout uni, working for members of parliament part-time. And so I actually thought that was where I was really heading. I was pretty involved in church and EU stuff and whatever. I thought politics is where I was going. And I remember one time, actually, my senior minister was just talking to me and said, have you considered doing ministry? I've chatted with some people and, I think it's something you should consider at least. I think I kind of almost scoffed at him because that year, I don't know how crazy, I was running for local council that year. And so I thought that, again, politics was where I was going. I was later elected that year as well. So I was a local councillor. Out in Penrith. Oh. Anyway, it's a bit of a meme, really. And it was cool. A great time, great opportunity to serve. And I thought God was really calling me to that. But over years of doing things like annual conference with the EU, as Anna mentioned earlier, being involved with lots of different church ministries, Bible study leading to kids ministry, youth ministry, doing beach mission, serving in the EU in various roles, I just felt, yeah, a growing heart to not only reach those who don't yet know Jesus as just an ordinary lay person, but maybe actually God was using all these gifts that he'd given me and all the skills and training in politics and in church ministry in EU to consider what it could look like to actually do ministry as a vocation, and maybe even to consider going outside of parts of Sydney that I was comfortable with to actually go out and reach people with the gospel and to build up God's people. So yeah, attending things like as an annual conference, but also doing where Anna and I actually met was at the time it was called Plunge. It's now called Project 100. But yeah, a conference designed for people thinking about vocational ministry. I had a chat with Patty Benn actually. That was a great time as well.
I remember that.
This keeps happening. Our interviews always turn to, hey, man. I remember having this conversation with Patty Benn.
But we certainly didn't go to this conference thinking that we were going to find our spouse. That was not our intention.
Yeah, no. Deliberately said I was not going to find my spouse at a Christian conference. anyway, here we are. You got to love it. You got to love it. So I think, you know, all those conversations, the support, just feeling like God had really changed my heart and convicted me of the need. And, having chats with Patty, having chats with Celia Toos, who was a very big help throughout my time while working full-time out of uni, while also being able to chat with her as an EU staff worker. And just having that ongoing support and investment and conversations with my senior minister, et cetera, all led to me doing the Howie project, doing that for 2 years, being able to serve in a full-time ministry capacity in a different, a lot of support, a lot of training, a lot of guidance, but being given a real go. I think I was always going to use those 2 years to be grown for a lifetime of doing ministry, whether that was vocationally or as a layperson, but also using those 2 years to actually see whether I enjoyed ministry and whether people around me thought I was suitable to maybe consider doing ministry full time. And in that moment, at some point as a Howie, Anna and I got married. So that sort of gets us up to date. Sort of.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It's just, once again, I'm just reminded, partly for our listeners' sake, right, the significant value of good partnership, partly between staff and students on university campuses, but also I think the bigger picture between the partnership between the local church and the ministry that lots of people are doing and the work that student ministry brings in terms of training and equipping students, encouraging them to go and serve in local church, giving them sort of stretching them, giving them a big vision for ministry, which they can then bring back into their church. And I just think, your story is one that really speaks really powerfully to that. So let's pick up, you guys have sort of met, you met at a ministry recruitment conference. Josh, you're somewhere in the mix. You're doing a 2-year ministry apprenticeship with us at Sydney Uni. Anna, you're doing one with church. How did the two of you try and navigate ministry decisions sort of towards both ministry independently, but obviously you grew to love each other very much, obviously, and so you decided to get married. And how did that sort of work at the same time? Do you want to share something with our listeners about that?
Yeah, happy to share. Yeah, when we first met and sort of first started having conversations and going on dates and things like that, our first date, I said to Josh, I want to be a missionary in China. And Josh said, I want to be a missionary in the Middle East. And I thought, we're incompatible. There's no way that that's going to work.
No idea.
But I think over time I realized, and we both realized that as we got to know each other and found that we really actually enjoyed each other's company, it wasn't just about a strategic gospel ministry decision. We liked each other. But actually there was a real joy in figuring out together where God would have us serve. And it may not be where either of us have planned. And God can change what we thought were our ideas. He has his plans. And so it's been a conversation of working that through and still having a heart for mission, but being a little bit more flexible on where that might be.
Yeah, that's very helpful, I think. And I think, yeah, when we were chatting initially, it was, you're right, like trying to work out, well, what would it actually look like? I'm sure we'll get into this a bit more, but it's not always incredibly common for both husband and wife to study at a theological college together at the same time, all throughout a 3 or 4 year degree. So I think when we were dating, getting engaged, talking about getting married early on, just trying to, obviously it felt like it was quite compatible, Anna doing CMS and doing the stuff at church, me doing the Howie stuff at Sydney Uni as a ministry apprenticeship. I think I just felt like, oh, of course, this gels really well, but always mindful about continuing to have the conversation about, yeah, what it would actually look like, knowing that, yeah, there weren't many examples perhaps for us to necessarily be looking at.
Mm. And sometimes it can be more complicated thinking about it as some sort of husband and wife duo. And what does that mean for possibly one of us being involved in church ministry, one of us being involved in maybe uni ministry or hospital ministry or school chaplaincy? There's lots of options, but I think at the time we weren't sort of sure about all of that. And and for being a woman, I think there's, and being a married woman particularly, adds further complications because you want to think about, well, we wanted to think about kids and family. And so just figuring out how ministry interacts with that. If I also wanted to come to Bible college, but I remember at the time thinking about whether we would get married. I remember thinking, it's not about if I would get married to Josh or someone else. It's about getting married to Josh or being a single person. And that was a real wrestle to work through what are the things I'm giving up by potentially being able to be a single Christian in ministry versus what would it look like to be a married woman in ministry. But over time, we've realized that actually it's a great thing that God has brought us together. And we're really grateful that we get to study together. And I think we work well together. We sort of sharpen each other. We rebuke each other where needed. But I think we complement each other in our gifts. And even though it might be a little bit more challenging and might take a bit more time to work through the fact that both of us are thinking about ministry in that vocational sense, I think God has a plan for us, and we want to serve him, and we don't know what that will look like.
Can you dig into that a bit more, just for any listeners who might also be sitting there wondering, how do I go to Bible college with my husband or my wife? What kind of things did you know you had to sacrifice? What kind of things were a bit of a surprise to you maybe? How has it gone, even just being in the same subject and recognizing that maybe Anna's really good at that subject, Josh, you're not, but then vice versa? Or how do you navigate even essays? I'm just, yeah, keen to hear about those things because they feel like
Yeah, no, really, thank you for that question. I can confirm Anna is often better than me at a lot of subjects.
I think we balance each other out well.
Yeah, socializing.
I'm sure, Josh, you've got your strengths too.
I think, so we'll start with maybe the sacrifices or the costs that you have to weigh up. I think if you both want to study, obviously financially it can be a bit tougher in some senses, both being full-time uni students again. And I mean, I'm 30, and that's not particularly old, but it's also not like, you know, super young to be back in studying and also doing it. It's something you have to weigh up. And obviously for us, we're thinking about whether our church would be able to financially support us, which we're very grateful they were able to in our first 2 years of student ministry. Our new church, unable to, which was fine. We were more than happy to go to a church to serve in a different context, even if we weren't paid. But, you know, trying to get financial partnership and working with people generally in this gospel partnership, I think that's an extra layer. You know, we know people where their spouse might work full-time or work part-time or... obviously that's one sort of consideration. I think also in terms of being a married couple, putting off having kids, you know, deliberately deciding that we were not going to actively try to have kids while we were going to be studying, so that we could both get through the full 4 years is the plan, God willing. And again, you know, we're grateful to be able to study together. It's something you notice when a lot of your friends start having kids or people at college are having kids. So usually the man's studying and the wife is at home looking after the kids, whatever it is. So I think that was something we had to weigh up as well.
I think as well, your friends and families start to make decisions that you're not able to at that point. So a lot of our friends are starting to buy houses and, you know, get their first apartments or houses and things like that. And it's a real joy to celebrate with them.
Wow.
But we've made this decision that we're going to commit a significant period of our time to not working when this could be a time in our lives where we're, you know, double income, no kids, we're able to save for a house. But we decided that for us, we want to share the gospel and we want to be trained up to do so. And it's worth this significant investment at, you could say, the peak of our careers, or, you know, if I have kids in the future, the peak of my career, maybe. But it's a joy to do that. And it is a cost though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of maybe some of the things that we do in terms of like the practicalities of both studying at college together, often if we're given a choice for an essay question in a subject, we'll deliberately do different questions. So that way we can still share how we're going, where we're up to, but we're obviously not going to be plagiarizing each other's ideas or whatever. Some subjects don't allow you to do that. You're just doing a, you know, working through a particular passage in the Old Testament, New Testament. And I think that I think it's wisdom in just being careful of what we say to each other. Obviously, we're not looking over each other's work or anything like that.
I think one of the big values, particularly of Moore College, but I know many other Bible colleges, is that is about learning in community. And that was something that's really important to us. It's why we're living on campus in Newtown at the moment. And so we were thinking, well, how do you do living in community, learning in community as a married couple? And I think we wanted to show people that we are married. We don't want to pretend like we're two single people at Bible college trying to make our own friends. But we also, we want to be married, but we also want to show that we're individual people, that we can have friends with various people. And so we sometimes sit together in class, but often we don't sit together because we think it's great to be able to get to know the many people in our community. I've particularly enjoyed getting to know some of the single women in the Moore College community, but also some of the other married women that there are. And I think vice versa for Josh, for many of the guys. We have friends that we hang out with together, but also separately. And I think that's a great part of it too.
I think that's probably one big benefit of both studying together is that we're both available in the same time. So it's not like, you know, one of us is at work and it comes home at like 5 p.m. or whatever. So often we're able to have a lot of people just come over our house at 2 p.m. because that's usually when our class is finished, and we'll have coffee and there might be some board games or chats or go for walks with people. I don't know, whatever it is. So I think that we can perhaps in some senses be more hospitable.
We do also study as well.
I was about to say, look, I know Moore College highly values community and learning in community. I think it's the learning in community. I just don't think it's just the community. It sounds like you guys have been.
That's what Josh missed.
We have different study habits. Josh studies into the wee hours of the night when there's no more people around.
It does sound like you guys, as a married couple together, have been able to be very generous with your time, both in terms of opening your house, in terms of providing hospitality, but also I think in terms of, as you just stated, caring for some of the other people in your year groups. I'm just wondering, I know that Moore values learning in community, are there any other things that have been really attractive about that undertaking, about studying at Moore College and the benefit of being at Moore College for you guys particularly, both in terms of the learning, but also the learning in community?
I think one of the things we really love is the fact that we do have a fixed cohort. Not every theological college does that, and there are lots of pros and cons to that. But for us, I think knowing that this is our group now, like from second year onwards, it's a full-time degree. So we go on weekends away together as a cohort. We did that back in February this year. And we're going to be doing that next year, but also beyond college. And I think that's one of the real strengths of Moore College, and what we love about learning and living in community at Moore College is knowing that there's a group of 65 of us plus other spouses that are not studying and kids and whatever else will happen in the future, where we'll be still intentionally catching up with each other, investing in each other, being a support network for each other when we're all, you know, God willing, doing ministry in the future in different capacities. So I think that's been something we're already feeling and we're looking forward to actually reaping a lot of the benefits of. I think Moore College often really emphasized that the greatest gift that God had given us in this college community was one another, and that God had deliberately put us together to be able to be a gift to one another. And I think we haven't even really seen the benefits of that yet. So looking forward to that.
And even, as we grow in trust of each other over the years, we're starting to have really big conversations, and we're doing classes like ethics this year. And those are moments where we really can significantly disagree with each other. And yet having that trust that we're starting to build with each other and will continue to build, as Josh says, is actually a really strong thing and a really wonderful thing that we get to do. We also really are enjoying the theological rigor of Moore College. I know many Bible colleges we're flushed with choice in Sydney, but it's something that we're really enjoying and finding it helpful to have wonderful lecturers who are really humble and who seek to serve us faithfully with the theological rigor that they have, and to read some of their books that they've written and to write things about that and write essays and have their support with that has been great.
So question for our listeners before we get to maybe what you guys are aspiring to do after college. Some of our listeners are obviously in a position of considering whether or not theological college is going to be a worthwhile endeavor for them. They weigh the cost of extra fees, fee help or paying, or they weigh the cost of foregoing often full-time work for 3 or 4 years. They weigh the cost of the sort of social stigma in some circles of being a full-time student again in their late 20s, early 30s. If you can sort of picture that listener, what advice would you give them at this particular stage in their consideration and aspirations?
I think I would acknowledge that it is costly. There's many reasons why it's costly, yes, socially, financially, even emotionally. Sometimes college can be some of the more spiritually dry moments in your life because you're giving so much of your energy to writing essays about God, but not necessarily deepening your relationship with Him. And so you have to fight hard against that. But all these different costs, we wouldn't trade it for anything. We love that we're at college. We love that God has brought us to third year. He continues to make the funds available. The sacrifice we made, He has really blessed us in the things that we've been able to learn and the friends we've been able to make. It's been so worth it. And I think it will pay off in dividends in the future as we go into vocational ministry, whatever that will look like. It's worth it to have had this intentional time to study and reflect on things that we wouldn't have had time to do if we were still in paid work.
Yeah, and I think just adding on to that, like I think, you know, people, I'm sure your listeners are aware, I know you guys have touched on it before in podcast episodes, but, you know, I mean, even just doing the one-year diploma, I think, or, what you know, different Bible colleges offer a one-year sort of course, it's excellent, you know, it's excellent training theologically for any Christian, regardless of what you'll end up doing, let alone doing the 3 or 4 year degree if you want to go into various different types of vocational ministry. And I think, you know, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. We need more gospel workers to be going out into the harvest. And even if it is, you know, slightly costly, I actually think living in Sydney, we're incredibly privileged as Christians, let alone as people potentially going into full-time vocational ministry or part-time vocational ministry and coming to study at college. So I think, you know, having chats with trusted Christians around you is really crucial, with your senior minister, uni staff workers. The key people, particularly older, more experienced Christians, to see maybe if you are being called and set apart by God and His people to consider doing ministry. Doing apprenticeships is really important, I think. Even if you're in your late 20s, I have friends that are still, you know, doing ministry apprenticeships now, and they're 28, 29, 30. You know, in the overall scheme of things, being trained and equipped for a lifetime of ministry is a fundamentally important thing to be doing. Because you don't want to just be running hard for the next 5 or 6 years and then, you know, fall apart or don't have that theological grounding which a theological college can give you. You want to be doing ministry for the next 30 or 40 years. And I'm, you know, I'm sure Patty and I are pretty similar in this. I just want to go. I just want to get into it. I want to run and do everything. But I think actually, you know, taking this time, you know, for 3 or 4 years, which may seem like a grind, and it is sometimes, but to do that in a way you're being invested in so much with God's word and with people that have been studying God's word so dedicatedly, and to be equipped for a lifetime ministry, I think it's just super important for anybody that's thinking of doing ministry.
Yeah, great. I think I also want to say that for all our talk about it is costly, you know, it's actually, we've been surprised at how our quality of life hasn't really decreased as much as we thought it had. Josh joked about our house. We have a lovely house and it's a great place to live. We live in Newtown, which I always wanted to live in the inner west, and now I get to do so. We still get to go out for coffee. We can still, we've raised financial support to be able to be here and have people over and have, you know, like the nice cheese we want every now and again and things like that. It's been a surprise that in some ways it's been not as big of a sacrifice as we thought it was going to be.
Great. Thanks.
Well, my last question is, Is it China? Is it the Middle East? Is it somewhere else entirely?
That is a great question.
Where's God taking you now?
We're actually on a more college mission to Alice Springs just the other week. It's just over a week spending time partnering with a local church, and we're very blessed to have that opportunity. And I think what we're reminded of is there's gospel need everywhere, and we're very open to wherever God would send us. We have a lot of good friends, dear friends, and friends that we just know who have, you know, gone to CMS and said, I'd love to go here, but I'm open to going anywhere. And they often just go, oh, well, have you thought about this place? And they're like, well, no, but if there's a gospel need, let's go. And I think, you know, we're fairly open to wherever God would send us. I think we're very keen to do something overseas or in a bigger part of Australia, maybe outside of Sydney for a decent amount of time. To serve people that have little or no access to the gospel or very limited access to the gospel and good teaching and training from Christians as well. We want to be used by God with all the training we've had and all the investment we've had from the EU and our churches and from now Moore College to go out into the world and, not only share the gospel but also train and disciple Christians.
And that's our sort of long-term plan, I think. One of the things that's been tricky to work out is what's our medium-term plan? What do we do straight out of college?
Yeah.
I think over time and through prayer and chats with different people, we think it would be wise for us personally to stay in Sydney for the first 3 to 5 years after college. Josh is about to become a candidate, God willing, of the Sydney Anglican Diocese, and that's an opportunity to partner with Sydney Anglicans, not only in Sydney, but God willing, if they send us out to overseas in the future. And so we're really keen to think about, medium term, what would God have us do straight out of college? Does it involve starting a family or working in uni or hospital or school chaplaincy? There's lots of opportunities and options. And so we're just at that stage of weighing up the initial thinking, but we do have that, all that in mind, because we're thinking long term. That's where we'd like to be, overseas or across cultures.
Well, Josh and Anna, it's been really great having you on our episode tonight. We're really thankful for setting aside the time to come and chat with Sylve and I, and also sharing your life journey and the way in which God's been working in and through you with our listeners. And we really hope and pray that under God, he might bless all of the plans that you're making, even if they're tentative, and that he might use you as his harvest workers in his global harvest field for as many years as he'll give you. So we're really thankful you can join us tonight. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.